Shai. Whose? Rastri. In the state or kingdom?
In the state or kingdom.
Pure.
In the cities.
Cha. Also. Eva.
Certainly.
Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajna Purushah. Who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices? Ishyate is worshipped. Swena, their own. Dharmena, by occupation. Janahai, by the people. Varna Ashrama, the system of eight social orders. Anvitahai, who follow. Translation, the king is supposed to be pious, in whose state and cities the general populace strictly observes the system of eight social orders of Varna and Ashram, and where all citizens engage in worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The state's duty and the citizen's duty are very nicely explained in this verse. The activities of the government head or king, as well as the activities of the citizens, should be so directed that ultimately everyone engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king or government head is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is therefore supposed to see that things go on nicely and that the citizens are situated in the scientific social order comprised of four varnas and four ashramas. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that unless people are educated or situated in the scientific social order comprised of four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, society can never be considered real human society, nor can it make any advancement towards the ultimate goal of human life. It is the duty of any of the government to see that things go on in terms of varna and ashram. As stated herein, Bhagavan Yajna Purushah, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the Yajna Purusha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 5th chapter, text 29, Mokturam Jagatapasam, Krishna is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifice. He is also the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Therefore, he is known as Yajna Purusha. The word Yajna Purusha indicates Vishnu or Lord Krishna or any personality of Godhead in the category of Vishnu Tattva. In perfect human society, people are situated in the orders of Varna and Ashram and are engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu by their respective activities. Every citizen engaged in an occupation renders service by the resultant actions of his activities. That is the perfection of life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 46, Yatai pravati bhutanam yena sarvaminam tatam sukarmanatam abhyarcha sinim vindati manavaha. By worshipping the Lord, who is the source of all beings, and who is all-pervading, man can, in the performance of his own duty, attain perfection. Thus the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Shudras, and Vaishyas must execute their prescribed duties as these duties are stated in the Shastras. In this way, everyone can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. The king or government head has to see that the citizens are thus engaged. In other words, the state or the government must not deviate from its duty by declaring that the state is a secular one, which has no interest in whether or not the people advance in Varnashram Dharma. Today, people engage in government service, and people who rule over the citizens have no respect for the Varnashrama Dharma. They completely feel that the state is secular. In such a government, no one can be happy. The people must follow the Varnashram Dharma, and the king must see that they are following it nicely. Okay? So, Yasya rashtre pure chayva bhagavan yagipurushaha ijite svena dharmena janarvarnashramam vitahoy. So, Omagana Timiranda Shagaranjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, the context of this particular verse, that means where the verse is found in the Bhagavatam, is that the Brahmins are preaching to someone who is a rascal. His name is Vena. And they haven't understood one thing. Upadesho vimurkanam prakopaya nashantaye. That if you give a fool good instructions, guess what happens? He gets angry. So therefore, don't give fools good instructions. With fools, there's only one thing you can do. It's called latte. The stick. Because that's in Latin, that's called argumentum ad voculum. Because there's other methods of dealing with people. I mean, you can try to convince people, you can try to bribe them, you can try to divide and conquer. This, of course, is what Prahlad Maharaj was being taught by Sandadamarkha. And ultimately, if they don't listen, you know, the stick. So, that's a Shudra quality. Of course, the Brahmins here, they are preaching to someone who is less than a Shudra. His name is Vena. And his history is quite interesting. Of course, you've probably heard about it, but not everybody here has been in Lambasa, so it bears telling the history. Once upon a time, there was a king. His name was King Angad. And he was married to the daughter of fear personified. So one thing that he didn't calculate was having a proper marriage so the proper progeny can be produced. Generally, Brahmins should marry Brahmins, Kshatriyas should marry Kshatriyas, Vaishyas should marry Vaishyas, and Shudras should marry Shudras. Now, sometimes you find the higher class marrying the lower class, which is acceptable. That's called anulom. Like if a Brahmin marries a Kshatriya lady. I mean, that's perfectly all right. Because then you have the story of Kardama and Devahuti. Devahuti was a Kshatriya lady, and Kardama was a Brahmin. And so she just naturally followed her husband, who was more intelligent than her. However, I've seen, even in the modern day, when you have a wife who's more intelligent than a husband, and it happens, it's problems there. Big problems. I mean, the man feels completely, what we say, emasculated. You know, oh my God. And then he tries to impose his will upon the wife, you know, with force. Yeah, I'm your husband. You know, he's like a gorilla, and she's like a human being. Because women do have varnas also. It's not that only men have varnas. I mean, this is some male chauvinists. They make that statement that only men have varnas. Women should just stay in the kitchen rolling rotis all the time. Of course, we like rotis. And it's nice to be a sannyasi because everybody rolls rotis. Of course, whatever a sannyasi wants. So a sannyasi, he can engage anyone of any caste or any varna. Cooking from a Brahmin, actually. Not a blacha, not a meat eater. So a man of a higher caste can marry a woman of a lower caste. That's perfectly all right, because the woman will naturally respect the husband. But in other ways, the woman doesn't respect the husband. It's like a human being marrying a gorilla. It just doesn't, not quite that bad. But, and I've seen so many problems in the marriages like that. And so that's why traditionally marriages were arranged, because otherwise there was this thing called love marriages. You've heard of love marriages before? That means the man sees the woman, woman sees the man, and it's like spontaneous devotional service. Because the acharyas pray that may I be attracted to Krishna the same way as a young boy is attracted to a young girl. You know, spontaneous. No one has to train them. Not that you have to take a young boy and say, all right, here's your training. So when you see a girl, you have to be attracted. He says, oh, okay. And here's how you do it. You know, you open your eyes, say sweet words. You know, no one has to train this. It's all spontaneous. So devotional service is also spontaneous like that when one reaches the professional platform. But right now we're in the material world, so material stuff is spontaneous. So the problem with the love marriage is that, you know, a girl will see a boy, and then she doesn't think, and he doesn't think, you know, is it a Shudra, is it a Brahmin, is it a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, what kind of kids are going to come out? He just thinks, oh my God, wonderful, love. And that love in the material world, it's described by the scientists, who are actually quite intelligent. The brain scan of someone in love is the same as someone who is taking cocaine. You know cocaine? A drug. You know, someone who's taking a drug is crazy. Of course, we have that statement in the by Lord Rishabhadev. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya pritye aprinoti. Nunam pramata. One who actually takes these senses or just gets absorbed in the senses, and the attraction between men and women is basically based on the senses. Then he becomes pramada. Crazy. Completely insane. Anyway, isn't it? And then he gets married, and then 1 year later he finds out that he or she married someone that's not really the person of their dreams. Maybe the person of their nightmares, but not the person of the good dreams. And then the kids come out, and the kids are all Varna Sanskara, you know, mixed caste, and who knows what the caste is. Like Prabhupada said about people in Kali Yuga, they're all mixed castes of unknown origin. So, and as a result of that, the person's very confused. But in any case, in the case of Dana, who we're talking about here, the son takes after the mother, and the daughter takes after the father. We see this. It's a general rule like that. So Vena, he took after his mother, who was the daughter of fear personified, and he had all bad qualities. He wasn't fit to be king. His father, Anga Maharaj, was very disappointed in a son like that, as anyone would be. You know, naturally you want to be proud of a son or proud of a disciple. Actually, it said that a son or a disciple who is not Krishna conscious is mutra. He's the son of urine. He's not putra. He's mutra, isn't that? Someone who is not a devotee or a learned person. Chanaka Pandit says that. He's mutra. So Anga Maharaj was watching his son. His son was going out to play with his friends, and then his son Vena would come back, and none of his friends would be with him. And he would say to his son, you know, where are your friends? He said, I killed them. Nice kid, isn't it? You know, you have a soccer game, and you kill everybody else, even on your own team. That's pretty stupid. At least you should kill the people on your other team. So he was like that, and the father, he was a great devotee. It's a very good example for us. He was such a great devotee, he saw Krishna's hands in this unfortunate circumstance. And what did he say? What did he think? He thought, Vena's a very bad son, but actually he's a good son. Because he gives me an opportunity to take sannyas, you know, run away, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He wanted to be absorbed. So the kings, in other words, a real saintly king is like that. He's looking for an opportunity, an excuse to take up pure devotional service. And just like run for the hills. In fact, even Chanaka Pandit says, even in regard to one's wife, apriya varana, that if the wife doesn't speak pleasingly, right? Aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graham. We mentioned this verse the other day, that you should also take vanaprastha. Head for the hill. Vanaprastha means to go to the forest. Of course, in the modern day, Prabhupada said, we don't go to the forest. The forest is the city, and the city means preaching. You know where it is. So that's the point. I mean, if you have an unfortunate circumstance, you take shelter of preaching. There's no problem. There's no problem. I'm not advising people to run away from their wives because the wives argued with them last night. If we did that, we'd have everybody living in the forest here, you know, on the Three Sisters Mountain. We have all the all the men up there chanting Hare Krishna. But that would not be so productive. Plus, they're not detached enough either. Because then they'd be sitting up there in the mountains chanting Hare Krishna and thinking of the next wife they could get. So one should not take vanaprastha or not take but sannyasa until they're free of desire. So, in any case, Vena's father, Anga, he just went to the hill, took sannyasa, vanaprastha, and he was enjoying life. And Vena, naturally because of this rule of primogenitor, which means basically the oldest son becomes the next king. This is also the process was the process in Europe for a long time. And that's the process in North Korea, where they actually have someone who is on the qualities or with the qualities of Vena as in charge of the country, isn't it? You've read the news? He's actually, I mean, probably worse than Vena. So and then Vena took charge of the kingdom, and he really wasn't a qualified Kshatriya. And as a result, the Brahmanas first wanted to try to preach to him. This is the context of this verse. You know, Vena, this is what you're supposed to do, not what you're doing, but you're supposed to be a king and protect Varnashram. And of course, Vena doesn't listen to their advice. He goes against the Brahmanas. And then ultimately, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a coup. You understand? I think you all know what a coup is.
Yeah.
You're familiar with coups? I know. I'm just, this is Fiji. I know that. I'm just joking. The coup culture. So, but in this particular case, the coup is not by the citizens. The coup is by, it's not by the military either. The coup is by the Brahmins. Because the Brahmins are the ones who actually choose the leader. They're the ones who train up the leader. Even though the leader is a Kshatriya, it is a Brahminical society. Varnashram is a Brahminical society. The Brahmins are actually the ones in charge. They don't take position. They don't take a salary. Because if they took a salary, they would become compromised. In other words, they would be at what we call a conflict of interest. Conflict of interest means, let me give you a practical example. Let's say that Ras Bihari is a judge in the court here in Fiji. And let's say Arjuna does a crime. So they bring Arjuna to the court. You know, he's speeding with his car. You know, he gets a car and he's going 200 kilometers an hour. Just like I heard the other day that Bali was driving very fast. And even the police, he didn't stop for the police. He thought, who are they? They're just a bunch of dacoits. So he almost got in trouble, isn't it? But fortunately, Ras Bihari was with him. And so, now let's say he's taken to the court, he was speeding too much, and you're the judge. So that's called a conflict of interest, because you're relatives. That's a conflict of interest. So if someone's getting money, it's a conflict of interest. Of course, many cases in India, in the court system, the judge gets bribes, he gets money, and conflict of interest is probably the standard procedure, standard operating procedure in India, isn't it? In the lower courts. Of course, now, Modi is actually trying to rectify that. He's actually a more dharmic person. He's the PM, the Prime Minister of India. And he's quite dharmic. He's a brahmachari, he lives very austerely, he does fast. This is actually the proper type of a king. He's a Brahmin Kshatriya type of person. He's vegetarian, he wanted to outlaw cow slaughter. You know, you see some indication like that in Modi, isn't it? You know, very nice person. And when he goes to a country to visit, he gives them a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. He went to Japan to visit the Prime Minister of Japan, and he gave them the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't that nice? What a nice thing. Yeah, so there's a nice Prime Minister there. You have a nice Prime Minister here in Fiji, too. So, in any case, we don't want to speak politically. In any case, the Brahmanas, they guide the Prime Minister, King, or whatever, and they can also depose him if he doesn't act according to the standards of morality and the standards. There's objective standards. And what are these objective standards? They're from the Vedic literatures. It's not that the Brahmin thinks, oh, I think this is right, or I think this is wrong. The Brahmin has to be able to quote Shastra. That's our law book. Like Prabhupada said, his books are the law books for human society and will be the law books for human society for the next 5,000 years. Hopefully they'll be the law books for ISKCON. So it's a standard of morality that the Brahmanas actually impose upon the people. And so Prabhupada here comments in the purport about democracy. Now democracy is probably the opposite. Of course, there's other types of ocracies too. There's aristocracy, democracy, plutocracy. But actually what we have in the Western world, I don't know about Fiji, but in America, we have a plutocracy, not a democracy. That means, what does that mean? That means the rich people, they control everything. And they manipulate the Shudras to vote. Do you understand that? Because the Shudras, in a democracy, which is actually a plutocracy in America or in most of Europe and also Australia, then the majority of people who vote are Shudras, actually less than Shudras. Kalo Shudra Sambhavat. I mean, not even Shudras. Because what is a Shudra? A Shudra is one who actually serves the higher caste. So these are outcasts, Malechas, Yavanas, I guess some Rakshasas too in the mix. And they're voting. And so they'll vote for whoever gives them the most. I mean, it's not direct bribery, but whoever promises them the most. And they're manipulated by the business interests. And so that what you end up with, generally, as the leaders of society, are people who are cheating. So democracy is really not the best solution. In fact, we've seen that in certain cases where America and other countries try to impose democracy on other countries, it ends up in a disaster. I mean, if you look at the Middle East today, like America and some of the other countries have this policy of regime change. That means changing the country so there'll be a democracy. But what happens, it creates more problems. I mean, first you got a king who's like Vena, okay. But at least, as we read in the Bhagavatam, Vena kept the thieves down. I mean, he wasn't nice to the Brahmins, right? He wasn't nice to the Brahmins and, you know, the higher class people. But at least he took care of the thieves. He was the biggest thief, actually. Just like the story Prabhupada told, once upon a time a thief was brought to Alexander the Great. You all heard of Alexander the Great? He conquered a lot of Europe. And actually, not only did he conquer Europe, he just stole things and, I mean, so many things from Greece. So a thief was brought before him to be judged. And they brought the thief before him, and Alexander the Great said, "What is your defense?" And then the thief said, "What is the difference between you and me?" And Alexander the Great said, "You know, explain what you're talking about." And the thief said, "You're a big thief, I'm a small thief. So who should be punished?" So this was a good defense. I don't know if you can use that in court nowadays. But so in any case, Dana was expert in keeping the thieves other than himself down. He definitely was. And then what happened when Dana died or was killed by the Brahmins, as we read later on in this chapter, they cursed him and killed him. Then the thieves just started running all over the place. There was smoke, fires and dust from all the thieves running around. Like you see sometimes here when there's a coup, isn't it? Before you had people breaking into the stores and doing things. And this happened on a big scale in Vena's kingdom. So that's the necessity of having a king. And that's why when America and other countries try to impose democracy on other countries, it creates more problems. Even though the previous king was a prime minister, whatever, was a rascal, then turning over to the people becomes more rascaldom. So this is a very important principle. So basically, the king's duty, as mentioned in this particular verse in purport, was to make sure that everybody's doing his duty according to Varnashram. And how do you ascertain or understand what someone's varna is? It's quite easy. Of course, you have that ceremony. When the child is young, the child chooses between the kshatriya implement, the brahmin implement, the vaishya implement, and the shudra implement. I mean, the kshatriya, nowadays I guess you put a gun there, or a sword. And the brahmin, you put some books. And vaishya, you put a bunch of gold. And shudra, you just put a hammer and nails. And so, what did Arjuna choose? She chose the Bhagavatam. Haribo! That's very nice. That's very nice. Actually, even better than that is to choose money and put it on top of the Bhagavatam. Just like the original Arjuna, one of his names was Dhananjaya, right? Does everybody know what Dhananjaya means? No? Collector of wealth. For Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, you could take a picture of him pulling in the money. Sometimes the Mayavadis, they had a picture of one Mayavadi just pushing away money, and Prabhupada said, "No, take a picture of me pulling in the money." For Krishna, because yukta vairagyam. Everything is meant to be used for Krishna's service. So one could be ascertained. There's that ceremony when one's young. There's astrology. And it's very easy to understand what varna you're in. Just ask yourself or have someone ask you the question, what can you do for 8 hours a day without going crazy? We can do many things, just like myself. I can do many things. I know how to do many things. I know how to fix cars. I know how to give a class. I know how to build buildings. I know some political stuff. I know a lot of things. But if you ask me to do anything else other than Brahminical stuff, I just go crazy. Like if you ask me to fix your car, I know how to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you how to do it. I mean, people should be intelligent. I mean, just like what they should, it's not that people should be stupid just because they're of a different varna. Just like one time there was a lady who was complaining, she had a computer. And she complained that the cup holder in the computer wasn't going back in the computer. And it was actually a disk drive. And another lady called up, "My computer's not working." And the person said, "Have you put it in the PowerPoint?" And she said, "No." "Oh, okay." So Even though we may be of a different environment, we should know things in this material world. It's not that that just because you're not a shudra, you can't fix the plumbing. That you have to call for a plumber and spend $500 just to turn the faucet off. You know, so we should have brains to understand everything. That's a Brahmin. What?
Jack of all trades.
But we should understand, Prabhupada said we should understand a little bit of everything, but of our specific varna, we should be very specialized in it. And if we are, we can fix our minds on Krishna, because Krishna for us, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagno Brahmanohutam. Brahma tena gantavyam, Brahma karma samadhinam. Krishna is representing to us in terms of our work. In this particular verse, karma means work. That whatever your work for Krishna is, that is a manifestation of Brahman. Just like this verse I quoted, when you offer the ghee into the fire, the ghee becomes purified. And even the smoke is purifying. The prophet said that during the fire sacrifice. The smoke is purifying. So, our work, according to our nature, is a representative of Krishna. So we should, and this way our mind will be controlled. Savayamana Krishna, Padara Vindaya. That's the way to focus our mind on Krishna. I mean, later on, when you become a pure devotee, you know, after 10 million lifetimes, no, maybe after this lifetime, then you can just like sit near Jana Bhajan, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But you know, when Krishna says, Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto, how do you apply that? You apply that by doing your work for Krishna. And that's what Krishna indicates in the Bhagavad Gita. And also doing the sadhana process every morning, chanting your rounds, following the rules and regulations. Yeah, both things have to be done. But during the day, whatever service you're doing for Krishna, yat karoshi yadashnashi yajahoshi dadasiyat. Whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to Krishna. So that's the secret in devotional service. So varnashram is extremely important. We, at the present time, are not transcendental to varnashram. If you think you are, you're in trouble. We have many devotees who think they are. They end up in Radhakund with the Babajis. They end up as Sahajas, and they end up displeasing Srila Prabhupada. Oops, that's right. I can do that. Even though I'm not a shudra, I know how to tighten up the microphone. You know. No, I'm a Brahmin, I can't do that. You know, like I said, you got to know how to do these things here. You know. So, in any case, that's how we remain focused on Krishna. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Find out your varna. You can ask Rasa Bihari what your varna is. He'll tell you. And just focus. I mean, you may be working a job. And Prabhupada said, one who's working a job in a factory is as good as a sannyasi if he's giving the results to Krishna. Because what does the word sannyasi mean? It means to accept and reject. Interesting, isn't it? Sannyas, like we have a sankirtan. Sankirtan means congregational chanting. So, sannyas. Yas means to reject. So, rejecting everything that's not favorable for Krishna consciousness and accepting everything favorable. First two rules, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, surrendering principles, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. So, yeah, do your work according to your nature. That's the lesson, one of the main lessons of the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna is getting from Krishna. All right, any other questions? Rasa Bihari, a question?
Yeah,
more
or less like Fiji is a secular state. Secular state is there. But the Varnashram comes first or the secular state? Because like Fiji is secular state, everybody is independent. Everybody got their life, which one way is okay, everybody's freedom is there.
Yeah. So we're not against, let's say, a secular state that makes sure that everybody is following a bona fide religion. See, let's just unpack this There's something called an absolute secular state, which has no connection with religion. That's very bad. But there's a secular state that's not favoring a particular religion. That's really what we would want. Like Prabhupada said, that we wouldn't force people to convert, because we don't have a conversion ritual. It's interesting, other religions have a conversion ritual. If you want to convert to become a Baptist, what do? They put you in the water. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I baptize you, Rasa Bihari. Did you get baptized? No. Anyone here been baptized? I'm sure there's some people. No. Of course, we, what?
Not above.
Not above.
Not above.
Really? Really? So that's all right. So we don't convert people because people are already Krishna. You don't, Krishna conscious, you don't have to convert people. Because our nature is jivara svarupahoi nitya krishna. You don't change people's nature. We're already Krishna conscious. We just forgot it. So what our purpose is to remind people. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the, where is it? Oh, Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says that when we see people in a different religion, you know, chanting or doing whatever, we appreciate they're worshiping the same God as us. So that type of let's say rather than use the word secular, non-denominational sect, government would actually be good. That, you know, yes, chant the names of God. If you want to chant Allah, fine. If you want to chant Jehovah, fine. If you want to chant Krishna, fine. Ram, fine. Nrsimha, fine. Fine. Just like even in our Krishna conscious movement, we have people who are absorbed in Lord Nrsimhadev. Like even Lord Chaitanya's associate. Murari Gupta, he was just chanting Ram. And Lord Chaitanya said, hey, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And he said, no. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. So he's Ram Bhakta, because he was Hanuman. So we respect like that. So that type of secular state we can accept. But the state that is atheistic, that's really what Prabhupada is referring to here, then that is not good. So as far as Varnashram, very simple. Varnashram means that everybody has a psychophysical nature and engage them accordingly. That's it. I mean, you don't have to get into all the different rituals of Varnashram like a Brahmin. What's a Brahmin supposed to do? Keep a fire burning in his house every day. Did you know that? I mean, do any of you keep a fire burning in your house all day long? I don't think you do. So that's a Brahmin, a ritualist. You know, that's like the traditional ritualistic Brahmin. And he does a fire sacrifice every morning. Does everybody here do a fire sacrifice every morning? No. A sannyasi is not supposed to wear sewn clothing. So I should just be wearing a gumsha all day long. Especially when I go in the cold countries. When I go to Europe and it's 10 degrees below zero, I'll just wear a gumsha. Depends on Krishna to heat me. So we don't follow the rituals so much of all the different varnas, but the principle, whatever your nature is. You know, if your nature is to be married, be married. Engage your family in Krishna consciousness. Don't become a husband or wife or a worshipful spiritual master without being able to liberate your family from birth and death. So be married. Or if you want to be a sannyasin, whatever your nature is. Astrology can sometimes tell. Of course, there's not many expert astrologers nowadays. But it's pretty easy to tell what someone's nature is. And they should be. That's the government's duty. I mean, it doesn't even have to be called Varnashram. It can be just be called engaging people according to their nature. Because ordinarily, people do seek out work according to their nature, but unfortunately sometimes they're misplaced. Like Prabhupada gave the example, in the Vietnam War, you had people who were taken to the war who were shooters by nature, not fighters by nature, and they ended up smoking marijuana in the trenches. Trenches means like the holes in the ground, and sometimes when you're in a war you have to go in a hole in the ground because the bombs are going overhead, you know, the bullets are going overhead. So many of them, they were just shudras, so they just took out marijuana and were smoking it while their bullets were going overhead, and then they would, sometimes because they were intoxicated, would stand up and go, Hare Krishna. No, they wouldn't go Hare Krishna. But and they get shot. So that's what happens when you put a shudra in the wrong position. Or in the case of Vena, you put a demon, basically, in the wrong position. So everybody has to be in the right position. And the intelligent class of people, the Brahmins, who are detached, not getting money, not employed, make the decisions on that. So there's no conflict of interest. We have to end right now, isn't it? Okay, so on that happy note, all the ladies should just cook in the kitchen, and the men should just eat rotis. What's that? You got a question? You have a question? Not a good sure.
Sometimes we have Brahmins who are fake in the temple.
Fake Brahmins?
Fake.
What? Salary. Pay Brahmins.
Nowadays, what happens is, although Brahmins should never be doing all services free of charge and doing services, but there used to be this system of
charity.
But nowadays, it's a little bit different. Sometimes we give expenses for the Brahmins who are serving. Is there anything wrong with that?
Certainly the brahmana can be maintained. Maintained means like basic maintenance. But if you're providing a Mercedes or something like that for your pujaris, I don't think you're doing that, are you? You're providing the bare maintenance, what they need. That's fine. I mean, we have to maintain the devotees. We have to take care of the devotees, care for the devotees. Provide them a nice place to live. For example, in the Lotoka temple, there's no nice place to live right now, right? It's just like, I mean, it's like going to, what is the prison? Nambola? Natambua. They probably get more air in Natambua than they do down. Isn't that true?
It was wrong design.
It was wrong design. No, I didn't design it, so don't blame me. But anyway, whatever it is. So yeah, the devotees should have nice facility. And if they need some money for their maintenance, that's fine. But when it gets to the point of too much, like salary, and then you find out the pujari has $200,000 in his FNPF, then I think there's a little bit of a challenge there. Yeah. Danda Pratigraha, yeah. Well, Brahman general, in the traditional system, a Brahman would get money from this, from contributions, charity. You know, perform a sacrifice, and then people would give some donation voluntarily. He wouldn't say, "I'll do a sacrifice for you for $50. I'll do a Griha Pravesh for $200. If you want your children really blessed, I'll $500." And a marriage, 10,000. So, so yeah, we find that sometimes the Brahmins have a price list. You ever seen that? Yeah, they have a price list. But obviously, when you're doing sacrifices or something for people, I'll tell you a funny story. One time, I was doing a sacrifice many, many years ago. It was in Mexico City, and you know, swaha, swaha, and people were putting gold coins in the middle of the sacrifice. And I was thinking, wow, this is the best sacrifice I've ever done in my life. Yeah, wow. You know, these were like 1 ounce gold coins. And how much is a gold coin worth nowadays? Like 3,000 Fijian dollars or something like that? Something like that. And so they were putting, then it was a little less. They were putting, and they said, Jai, pretty well, you know. I was getting more ecstatic, swaha, swaha, swaha. You know, probably the best sacrifice I've ever done in my life. So, at the end of the sacrifice, I went to the participants and I said, thank you very much for the kind donations. And they said, no, we were just purifying our gold. And they took it back. I was completely frustrated after that. And then another time, you know, I was just sitting at the temple, and someone drives up in this beautiful new car, and he says, I'd like to offer my car to Krishna. And I was thinking, this is great. Same thing, you know, we do a puja to the car, you know, Om Karaya Namaha. You know, I don't know what the mantras that we use. And then he drives off. He says, you know, I offered it to Krishna. It's Mahaprasad now. So anyway, this happens in the pursuit of brahminical activities. So, what's that?
Otherwise, I really wonder how Lakshmi can go out to the real Brahman, because she already cursed the Brahman that I'm not going there when Vidu Rishi kicked Lord Vishnu's chair.
Yes.
The real Brahmana, I don't think
Lakshmi
will want to go there.
Well, the real Brahmana, he gets money and he gives it away. And he takes enough for his own maintenance. But once he's accumulating money for his, you know, in case the future, you know, I may die or something like that. He can do that for the temple. Let's say if the Brahmin's in charge of a temple, you have to accumulate some money, obviously. For emergency, there should be an emergency amount and everything like that. But if you just like accumulating for the future, for material purposes, I mean, it has to be practical stuff. There has to be arrangement for your retirement. I understand that. Because when you get older, I mean, it's going to be hard to get someone to take care of you, right? I mean, unless you're a sannyasi and you get people to take you. Sannyasi is the best retirement. Because then, you know, I can come here and you can just feed me all day long when I retire. So. That was Dhanardas. Dhanardas was his name. His wife, they were very detached. I'm not going to tell that whole story now. But, you know, that's Brahman. So we have to be practical. The main point is you have to be practical. You can't apply these things ritualistically without practicality. We have to take care of the devotees. We have to give them what they need. You know, whatever they need. You have to give them dhotis, saris, whatever the devotees need. Yeah.
Regarding, you said Anuloma, and there's a Pratiloma too.
Yeah, Pratiloma is, that's the opposite.
Yeah, suppose we have a Brahmachari Mataji, she wants to marry a Sudra or a Vaishya boy.
If she's a Brahmin.
Like that's Pratiloma.
Yes, Pratiloma. So, what do you do?
Because when we come to the Vaishnava system, we see as a spirit, we see as an Atma. I mean, how to balance it.
Take them out and holy and throw a lot of colors on them.
No, because they will say that no devotional time is more than anything happens between boy and girl.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes it happens and you just can't do anything about it. Because if you try to stop it, you become the enemy of both. You know the statement that you become between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, you become the enemy of both. And sometimes it happens, you've got to pray for the best, but I've seen so many disasters. I mean, I've seen so many marriages end up in disasters. And then the children are caught in that situation where the parents don't get along or there's a divorce or something like that. It's hellish. The children are the ones who really suffer from such a situation like that. So, basically, in certain countries, we do have a system where people have, it's called the prenuptial courses. You know, before someone gets married, they're actually given a course and they have a form they fill out about their expectations in marriage to see if it's compatible or not, and then they make their own decisions. You can't preach them out of it, but you can actually facilitate people sometimes in making the right decision. You say, okay, here's what do you want out of marriage? They say, well, I want to be Krishna conscious, I want my children to be Krishna conscious, I want to study the shastras, I want to get up early and chant Hare Krishna every morning. Okay, that's the girl. Okay, Mr. Das, you know, what do you want out of marriage? I want to make a lot of money. I want to sleep until 11 o'clock every morning. I want to eat at restaurants, not the Hare Krishna restaurant, but I just want to have fun in life. And so they look at the two tests that each one has taken. And then you ask them, what do you think about this marriage? Is it going to work? And sometimes they say, yeah, you're right. Even though, you know, I'm attracted, I'm in love, it's not going to work. So they're actually tests, and I have them on my computer if you're ever interested in them, where people can ascertain their compatibility. Also, there's astrology. You can see if someone is compatible. I mean, I've had people get married with 5% compatibility. It ends up a disaster. So I think compatibility, and traditionally in India there were arranged marriages. The young girl would be married at a very early age. You know, I'm not advocating something that's against the law. But at least she would know that when I grow up, that'll be my husband. So she would have his picture on the wall, just like we have the deity. See that? His picture on the wall, you know, this young man, handsome man, she'd be meditating on him. Oh, he's going to be my husband, he's going to be my husband, he's going to be my husband. So when she goes through puberty, naturally, then she focuses her mind on him. It's a system that may not be able to be applied right now, but it has some value to it. It has some value. Because people can fall in love like this in a second, and then that's it. They're just like in a trance. They're like a zombie. So, any other questions?
It's like love and kiss fight demons.
Yeah. That's right. First sight, love, and then fight. So, we can be attracted to so many things. But is it good for us? I mean, just like you look at different food. You know, and I'm attracted to different foods, too, that are not good for me. If you remember many years ago, I used to eat a lot of pizza. I would come here to Lombasa, you'd make everything in cheese for me. I'm still attracted to that. But I look at it and I say, it's not good for me. And I'm still alive because I gave it up. So I use the intelligence like that. But, you know, sometimes people, they just follow their tongue. Not just the men and women thing. They just follow the tongue everywhere. The tongue is their deity. Right? And I've seen people eat things they know will kill them. They have some case of cancer or something like that. And I tell them, you keep eating like that, you're going to die. And they do, and they die. Of course, I can't tell you. I can't tell them later, I told you so, because they're dead. So I get no satisfaction. So, anyways, and one who can conquer the tongue can conquer Krishna. Did you know that? You can conquer Krishna. You can conquer the tongue. You can conquer all the senses. Dharmadeji vayati lobamoya sudurvati takechita katina samsare. So Krishna consciousness means controlling the tongue, and then other things become easy. Then you won't fall in love so much if you can control your tongue. So I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam. Oh, no, time to greet. Yeah, see? To see. So anyway, so it's time to greet the deities and have Guru Puja. Oh, glorious is my grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.